It looks like it could be something that will be not good. Believe me, not good.
Oh, do you think? What's he talking about? Take your pick.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Yep.
Yes, I'm stuck in
from Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is The Bradcast, as heard on KPFK, 90.7 FM in L.A., 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, 93.7 FM in San Diego, and 99.5 in Ridgecrest and China Lake, California. Up in Oregon on 91.7 FM, KYAQ on the Central Coast, 106.7 KSO in Cottage Grove. In Lancaster, Pennsylvania on 92.9 WLRI. In Maui, Hawaii on 88.5 KAKU. Columbus, Ohio's WGRN 94.1. Palinville, New York's 102.9 WLPP. Grand Rapids, Michigan's WPRR. In New Orleans on 102.3 WHIV. 105.5 FM in the nation's capital, and in Minneapolis, St. Paul on AM 950 KTNF. We are also heard 5 days a week streaming on the internets, live on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Indie Media Weekly, FYI Nation, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, GDPR, Revolution 99, Deprogrammed Radio, Detour Talk, and Radio Sputnik. Blanketing Planet Earth 5 days a week. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow, says me from bradblog.com. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up in a little bit here, California Democrats undermining elections? Yes. Yes, they are. I will be joined by a guest to discuss that shortly and what our California listeners can do about it, though they're going to have to do it quickly. This doesn't look good. All right. Coming up, that is in a bit. Following Trump's announcement, actually, Attorney General Jeff Sessions' announcement, actually, because Donald Trump didn't have the guts to do it himself. This tweet got more than a quarter million likes as of last night. Quote, I have no sympathy for these kids. Their parents broke the law. They don't have jobs. They cost taxpayers money. Deport Eric and Don Jr. Sounds good to me. That was tweeted by Ben Wexler, a writer, producer from shows like Community and The Comedians and Arrested Development. Well, that was one take on where we are going with this killing the deferred action for childhood arrivals. President Donald Trump says he plans to revisit his decision on Tuesday if Congress is unable to pass legislation on the issue within 6 months. On Tuesday night, after condemnation from virtually all quarters for killing DACA, Trump announced in a tweet, quote, Congress now has 6 months to legalize DACA, something the Obama administration was unable to do. If they can't, I will revisit this issue, Trump wrote. Now, on Tuesday, Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced the Trump administration would end DACA, a program that gave almost 800,000 young undocumented immigrants protection from deportation. From being deported back to countries that many of them have never known, where they don't even speak the language, many of them, many who came here as small children or even infants. Yeah, they're going to be sent away. 800,000 of them are going to be deported to somewhere, somehow, for some reason. The Trump administration several times on Tuesday referred to President Barack Obama's use of executive authority to pass DACA as vulnerable to legal challenges. They described Obama's executive action as unconstitutional, thus forcing them, they claimed, to take this action of canceling DACA. Jeff Sessions said the Department of Justice cannot defend this overreach, but Trump's Tuesday night tweet in which he says, well, he'll revisit the issue. That seems to imply that the president would be more than willing to act within his own executive authority if Congress fails to act, just as Barack Obama did after begging Congress to act. If he's going to take action, if Congress can't do anything, he'll be fine to go ahead and take unconstitutional action, since that's what they said that Obama's action was. The Trump administration's move toward ending DACA received swift backlash, including from Obama himself, who wrote in a statement, "Let's be clear, the action taken today isn't required legally. It's a political decision and a moral question. Whatever concerns or complaints Americans may have about immigration in general, we shouldn't threaten the future of this group of young people who are here through no fault of their own, who pose no threat, who are not taking away anything from the rest of us." That was former President Barack Obama, part of his statement in response to Donald Trump announcing he would cancel the unconstitutional DACA until he decides to apparently unconstitutionally reinstate DACA if Congress doesn't take action. On yesterday's broadcast, my guest, Heather Digby Parton of Salon, suggested that if the only choice for Democrats in Congress to have DACA enacted legislatively was a trade for funding Trump's border wall, she said the Dems should take it in order to save some of those 800,000 dreamers from being cast to the wind. I'm going to try to open up your call, open up the phone for your calls in a little bit. Do you agree? Should the Democrats take such a deal like that if that's the only way to save these 800,000 dreamers? I'd love your thoughts on that. If you want to get in line right now, 818-985-5735 is our phone number. 818-985-5735. At the same time, what should Democrats be willing to do to force congressional Republicans to finally enact DACA or the DREAM Act? Should they threaten a government shutdown? We got some news on that coming up in a bit, but should they threaten to shut down the government? Should they vote against raising the debt ceiling? I love your thoughts on that and what Democrats ought to do now in Congress to deal with DACA. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. The question that Digby could not answer, though I have a guess, is why the hell Donald Trump is doing any of this at all right now, in a time when he could be growing his approval ratings by pretending to be presidential. In a standoff against North Korea, of course, but more directly in the wake of at least two major hurricanes that have struck the U.S., at least one in Harvey in Texas, and now Irma this week. And Irma, which is a monster storm in the Atlantic right now, that may just be part of the problem in the days ahead. Desi Doyen, where are we on? I know that Trump has now declared states of emergency for Florida, for Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands as Irma nears. But now we've got about, what, four different hurricanes at last count? No kidding?
Yeah, no kidding. There's so we have Hurricane Irma, mm-hmm. as you've already mentioned, that's right now threatening Puerto Rico and has already caused widespread devastation in the Caribbean, the Eastern Caribbean islands. Mm-hmm. Right behind Irma is now Hurricane Jose. Just a few minutes ago, the National Hurricane Center said that Jose had strengthened to hurricane strength, and right now, it's out in the open Atlantic Ocean, and we have no idea what its path is going to be.
That's Jose, right?
That's Jose.
Okay, so off the in the Atlantic, we have currently Hurricane Irma heading towards Florida. We've got Hurricane Jose behind that. That's two active hurricanes.
Right, and then there's also a tropical depression that is forming behind Jose, so we don't have a name for that one yet. But the other one that we're talking about is in the southern Gulf of Mexico near the Yucatan Peninsula. There is now a new hurricane that has just formed about an hour ago. Tropical storm Katia is now Hurricane Katia, and she's threatening the, I shouldn't say she, it is threatening the Mexico coast, and they are preparing for landfall there. But right now, Katia is only a Category 1, but is expected to strengthen before it makes landfall.
And Irma is, Irma, it's hard to keep them straight, is Category 5
still. Yes, Irma is still a Category 5.
Could be a Category 6, but there is no Category 6
as of now.
Right,
and that's a big thing that's apparently is going around the web right now. Be aware. If you are trying to look up updates for Hurricane Irma or any of these hurricanes or any of the extreme weather events that we're seeing, you know, be sure that you're looking at authentic, real sites like the National Hurricane Center or, you know, mainstream corporate media sites too. KPFK, you can trust the information here. There are a lot of hoax and fake news stories going around claiming that there's a Category 6 Irma and she's headed for Houston. These are all not true. These are all completely fake. There is no Category 6 designation for hurricanes.
Not yet, anyway. We need one. Well, there's been a lot of talk about it.
Yeah, there has been talk because Irma is on the far, far, far theoretical maximum, pretty much, of what a hurricane can do. And the Category 5 simply does not accurately describe the wind speed of Hurricane Irma, which, by the way, has the highest wind speeds over a 24-hour period that have ever been recorded of any storm ever on Earth.
I wish somebody had been on the radio for years warning about these sorts of things that could go on. And we've got three different hurricanes, one tropical depression behind it. Hurricane Katia, by the way, in the Gulf of Mexico, that is not heading towards Texas and Louisiana.
At this point, it is not, not looking like it's going to head that way. It looks like it's going to keep heading and hit Mexico instead. So it's a heck of a Chinese hoax, this climate change.
Very elaborate. Yeah. Very, very elaborate the way the Chinese are doing this.
And by the way, the reason I say that is because the reason that we're finding these extra powerful storms coming is because of the extra hot ocean temperatures. The Atlantic doesn't usually get this hot, and that is fueling. That is absolutely fueling these hurricane temperatures. Giving them the energy that they need to become as intense as they are becoming.
We should say that it didn't used to become this hot. Now it's been getting kind of this hot year after year.
And now the Gulf of Mexico is one of the hottest ocean spots in the world right now. That's a lot of energy.
Somebody needs to tell Donald Trump. Donald Trump needs to listen to your Green News Report, Desi Doyen. but he might not like what he hears. Here's what he had to say today. He was meeting with congressional leaders to discuss several of these must-pass bills in Congress, such as government funding bill that has to be passed in some fashion or another by the end of September to avoid a government shutdown. Also, raising the debt ceiling to avoid government default on, you know, stuff we've already paid for. Trump in the Oval Office offered these words of wisdom concerning the record Category 5 hurricane Irma that is now plowing into U.S. territories and threatening the continental U.S.
We have a lot to discuss, including the fact that there's a new and seems to be record-breaking hurricane heading right toward Florida and Puerto Rico and other places. We'll see what happens. We'll know in a very short period of time, but it looks like it could be something that will be not good. Believe me, not good.
Yes, we believe you.
Not
good. It will be something that will be not good. Yeah.
That's so well articulated.
Yes, well said, Mr. President. Governor Rick Scott is warning folks in Florida to evacuate. We don't know where Irma is going to hit yet.
Right.
And it could take a right turn and head north and head towards the Carolinas. But for right now, Governor Rick Scott is taking no chances. Here was his warning today.
I cannot stress this enough. Do not ignore evacuation orders. Remember, we can rebuild your home, but we cannot rebuild your life. Real-time traffic information and evacuation routes is available at www.fl511.com. www.fl511.com. At my direction, all tolls have been waived across Florida roadways. This should help families evacuate quickly and safely. We are preparing for Irma to directly impact our state, and while it's still too early to tell exactly where the storm will hit, it is incredibly important that all Floridians keep a close eye on this incredibly dangerous storm. Do not sit and wait for this storm to come. It is extremely dangerous and deadly and will cause devastation. Get prepared right now.
That was Governor Rick Scott of Florida warning people to get prepared for what could come of Hurricane Irma, this record hurricane in what is shaping up to be a record hurricane season at this point. Something else to get prepared for, at least for those of us not in the middle of fighting for our lives in a hurricane or fighting to keep from being deported, the 2018 election. That is much closer than you think, and many states are changing their laws right now in advance of it. One state, my own home state here of California, is working on a new law that could pass the state legislature this week or next, and it has a lot of election integrity advocates here in the Golden State very concerned, and I would suggest for good reason. One of those longtime election integrity advocates joins me next, and your calls on DACA coming up as well. Get in line now, 818-985-5735. I'm Brad Friedman. This is your Bradcast. Welcome back to the Bradcast. All along the watchtower here for you, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. We will get to your calls shortly on what Democrats can do. Your thoughts on Donald Trump ending DACA and what Democrats should be willing to trade, to give up, to demand in exchange for Republicans getting on board here and preventing the deportation of some 800,000 Dreamers. But before we get to that, Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner signed a bipartisan automatic voter registration bill into law last week. Governor Rauner is a Republican, and yet he has gone ahead and signed this bill that will automatically, when you go to a DMV, a driver's license, when you go to sign up for your license, you will become automatically registered to vote in the state of Illinois. That after initially vetoing the bill over concerns that it would increase voter fraud. The new law makes Illinois the 10th state to pass laws that automatically register residents to vote when they apply for or renew their driver's licenses and state IDs. Automatic registration should be fully implemented by the 2018 election coming right up, according to NBC Chicago. The bill passed unanimously in the state General Assembly back in July, and it's designed to open up voting access to rural voters, to military personnel, to senior citizens. Common Cause Illinois, the group that championed the bill, predicted that there are more than 2 million Illinois residents who are eligible to vote but who are not registered. The law will be the farthest reaching automatic voter registration law in the country, according to the Chicago Sun-Times. That's some good news. Some good news I've been trying to get to, haven't been able to get through with between the hurricanes and everything else going on over the past week. But there is some good news. There's some encouraging news, at least for voters in the state of Illinois. That news comes amid the backlash, the continuing backlash over the White House's bogus election integrity commission, really a voter suppression commission. Speaking of which, Dan Jacobson, former Obama White House lawyer, tweeted out some news yesterday from this court order. Of course, there is a challenge to this fake, I don't even know what to call it. It's called Election Integrity Commission, but it's a voter suppression commission headed up by Kris Kobach, the Secretary of State of Kansas. So there's a lawsuit by the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights against this group and their secrecy and the way they are doing what they are doing. Well, in one of the disclosures yesterday from the court, according to Dan Jacobson tweeted it out. He says, after the order for the Kobach Commission to create an index of its records, the Department of Justice informed us that commission members have been using personal email to conduct the business of this commission. Jacobson notes that flatly violates federal law, as did the court. Presidential Records Act requires commissioners to use federal government email for their work. And then he says you can read about it and other attempts by the commission to restrict disclosure in the status report that was issued by the court yesterday. Just to read a piece of this. During the meet and confer, defendant's counsel indicated that members of the commission have been using personal email accounts. This is Donald Trump's presidential commission. They've been using personal email accounts rather than federal government systems to conduct the commission work in violation of federal law. Defendant's counsel further stated that they did not yet have any settled plan for how they would collect emails from these personal, non-federal government systems or even who would conduct the searches. Any of this starting to sound familiar to you folks out there? According to the status report, the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights claimed that attorneys for Kobach's election panel said that they would ask members to search their own emails unilaterally, identify messages that they believe are relevant, and then forward those emails to the defendant's counsel. Sound familiar yet? Lock them up. Apparently, they are doing exactly what it was that Hillary Clinton was doing, although in the case of this presidential commission, it's actually illegal. It's actually in violation of federal law, of the Presidential Records Act. That's what Kris Kobach and his commission are doing. They're conducting business with their personal email. And when FOIA's Freedom of Information Act requests are made to look at the emails, look at the way that they're conducting business, we have to rely on them to tell us which of their personal emails are responsive to those FOIA requests. Yes, lock them up. That said, I've got some more on Kris Kobach, but I want to get to our guest here today as quickly as possible because I know a lot of folks also want to call in on DACA. So hang on the line. We'll get to you. We'll get to everything and everybody as well. Democrats in the California State Legislature, according to my next guest, are trying to sneak something in, and successfully they're doing it so far. They're trying to sneak it into an election-related bill that has a lot of election integrity advocates here in California very worried today. Assembly Bill 840, AB 840, had been a fairly innocuous bill, as I understand it, related to vote-by-mail ballots when it was initially adopted by the state assembly. But after going over to the state senate, new provisions, new amendments were apparently added that changed the nature of this bill completely so that it undercuts post-election manual audits out here in California. Now, California is one of the very few states, frankly, around the nation to have any kind of routine mandatory post-election hand counts, hand audits. Even though it's a tiny percentage, it's 1% of the ballots cast. And by the way, it's also routinely ignored by officials. So it's not a very good post-election audit. But these new amendments to AB 840 would make it even worse, putting some 4 million ballots out of reach of that manual mandatory post-election hand audit. Really? 4 million ballots? Here to discuss this, just back from lobbying lawmakers against it in Sacramento. And yes, people, this is what you have to do. This is what you have to do. You have to work your local legislatures because, well, that's where things fall apart. And this time it's Democrats out here in California. So just back from his lobbying with lawmakers in Sacramento, hopefully with a thought on what voters in California can actually do about this, is our old friend Jim Soper. He's the creator and author of the election integrity website countedascast.org. He's co-chair of the Voting Rights Task Force in the San Francisco East Bay, and he has been otherwise working on issues of election integrity for about a dozen years, by my count, out here in California and beyond. Jim Soper, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Hi, Brad. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate you joining us here to explain what this is. So what is going on? They passed some bill, had nothing to do with audits in the assembly, sent it over to the Senate, and then what happened?
Well, the bill passed the Senate Elections Committee on June 6th. It was still just dealing with the issue of if a vote by mail ballot envelope arrives with no signature, what's the procedure? What do we do?
Right.
It passed both the Assembly and the Senate Elections Committee. These are the people who are focused on this kind of issue, mm-hmm. with nothing mentioned about audits.
So it was just how to deal with vote by mail ballots that come in that don't have a signature. How do they properly deal with them? That's what we thought this bill was.
We know that the registrars, the CACEO, California Association of Clerks and Election Officials, have been working on this since at least February. They could have introduced the amendment back in February.
So what does this amendment do?
It says that the only ballots that will be included in the 1% manual tally, I really don't like the word audit.
Right.
It implies something systematic and professional and
right.
more of a spot check.
Yep.
But it says that the only ballots that will be included in this 1% tally are those that were used to report the results on election night. Only those.
So that means that ballots that come in after Election Day, because California now allows elections to, ballots to come in after Election Day for what, like 3 days after the election?
3 days. Well, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Okay.
Plus a lot of the ballots, the vote by mail ballots that are handed in to the precincts late on Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
They're not included because they don't have the time to process the envelopes and open them up and count them. So they don't get included, and the provisionals don't get included. We're talking 4 million ballots out of 14 million votes.
4 million ballots, and these would be, many of them, those late vote-by-mail ballots. So in a close election, if the ballot comes in late until Friday— there will be no actual manual hand audit of any of those ballots if AB 840 passes.
Correct. And this was done August 24th, just a couple weeks ago. They snuck this in, hoping we wouldn't notice, and trying to get involved. And we're now in the endgame period in the legislature, where the last votes are being taken.
Yeah.
And so they tried to sneak it in. We got a call last week, and we've just been at it full bore ever since, trying to mount an opposition to say, no, wait a minute. You have to subject all the ballots, all of them, to a random check, a random spot check. And the registrars are saying, oh, no, we don't. That's just we're trying to check the scanners, and once we proved with the first batch that they're good. No, that's not what the law says. The law says you're going to count or audit all the vote-by-mail ballots, all of them. And Ray Lutz in San Diego filed mm-hmm. a lawsuit last year.
Yep.
And he contested the registrars call this standard interpretation of the law. And he said, no, it just says you have to do all of the vote-by-mail ballots. The judge agreed.
So this was last year in San Diego. Michael Vu is the registrar down there. He used to be the registrar of Cuyahoga County, Ohio, back in 2004. Yeah. Don't even get me started there. But he was not following the law, and it was and the judge agreed that, yes, you have to count all the – you have to at least include in the manual post-election audit the spot check. You have to include all of those late vote-by-mails, all of those provisionals, et cetera. So instead of following the law – you're suggesting in Sacramento they're just now changing the law to make it harder to count those ballots?
Instead of following the law, they want to rewrite the law so they don't have to include 4 million ballots in the spot check.
Now, why would Republicans in the state of California want to do that, Jim Soper?
It's the Democrats.
What? It's the Democrats?
It's the Democrats, yes. There's a couple Republicans involved, but we were, as you said, lobbying in Sacramento yesterday, and the Republicans are very suspicious of vote-by-mail ballots because of huge chain of custody problems.
Mm-hmm. As well they should be.
Let me give you one example. All of these things tie in with each other. SB 450 from 2 years ago, where a county opts into it, will send vote-by-mail ballots to everybody, whether they ask for it or not. So all of a sudden we have a lot of vote-by-mail ballots floating around. AB 1921, passed last year, it said, the law originally said, you can only hand in a ballot for somebody else if you are a household or a family member. They struck that phrase. It now reads, if you want to bring in a truckload of ballots, a truckload of vote-by-mail ballots, bring them in. Dump them on the counter and say, count them. And we're not going to ask any questions. Who are you? Whatever. Here are your ballots. If you do that at 7 p.m. on election night, you know they're not going to get checked. If you combine that with the revisions made in 840, they know that those ballots will not be checked. So it's open field for whatever you want to do with them.
Yeah, it's a map to fraud, as if we needed a map. You know, Jim, many states look to California for election systems, new election processes. That's just one of the reasons I wanted to discuss this on the show. So the folks at our affiliate stations who listen across the nation understand how officials are really still working, even out here in California, to make it even harder for the public to oversee their own election results, something that, frankly, after the last election, after the 2016 election, if nothing else, you would think that at least Democrats would want to be making easier for the public to oversee the elections, not harder. Secretary of State Alex Padilla, the Democrat out here in California, where is he on this change to the election law? Certainly he is against making it harder for the public to oversee and have confidence in their election results, right?
He's fully behind it. He's fully behind making it harder to check the ballots. We were in the author's office yesterday, and he pointed out, yes, Secretary Padilla is fully behind this. This is extremely disappointing. He knows better. He's smart. He knows better. But something political is going on, and he's fully behind it, as are the registrars. Now, the registrars are going to say, oh, it's too much work and so on. Well, okay, let's talk about if it's too much work. By the way, there's another bill trying to get you $450 million to buy new equipment to help the workload. That's a whole nother call. But if you want to reduce the workload, let's go from a 1% manual tally to a 0.5% manual tally. We can reduce the workload. But do not make it predictable which 4 million ballots will not be checked, because it's open season on those ballots. And that's what this law is proposing, and we can't have that.
Jim, I got to get to a break here. I'm going to point folks to your website, countedascast.org/stopAB840. That's countedascast.org/stopAB840 to get more information on this. But what do you recommend very quickly that voters do in the we're on the air up and down California here? What should California voters do at this point to try to stop this from passing?
It's something of a long shot, but the Senate may vote on this tomorrow. And you should go to findyourrep.legislature.ca.gov. Find out who your senator is. Contact them and tell them to vote no on AB 840.
That's your state senator at findyourrep. Yeah, findyourrep.legislature.ca.gov, or just call Sacramento and say, hey, who the hell is my legislator? Why the hell are you passing this bill to make fraud even easier to get away with and harder to discover?
The next major step is probably going to pass the Senate. We want this bill pulled back into the Assembly Elections Committee for review. They never had a chance to review this. The key figures there are Assembly Member Mark Berman and Speaker Rendon. They make the decision about whether the Assembly will ever have a chance to consider this.
Because they had already passed it before when it had when it was rather innocuous. Now they've made all these changes, and the election committee in the assembly may not even consider it anymore. They just may pass it with all of these changes, correct?
If the elections committee is not given a chance to review this, this is a travesty. This is a political travesty, and the only reason is politics. Somebody very powerful is ramming this through. They need to be able to review this.
Yeah.
Because it's an elections committee that knows the topic, knows the policy, and understands the implications of what a semifinal tally is. Semifinal official tally is.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the bill, and it's. Oh, I've worked with people been at this for 10 years, and they wrote me emails and said, what's that? Well, that's the ballots they get counted on election night.
And those are the only ones that they're going to bother including. Yep.
Those are the only ones included in the audit.
All right.
So the Assembly needs to review this. The Senate needs to vote it down. Everybody needs to vote down AB 840.
Thank you, Jim Soper. And for those people listening, for those people in California, don't wait for someone else to do this. Call your state senator. Don't wait for elections to go south and then fight about it. All the people who have been fighting about what may or may not have happened back in 2016. Guys like Jim Soper had been warning about what could happen, what may have happened in 2016 for years. Don't wait. Wait until it's too late. So you can get more information on that bill, countedascast.org, or findyourrep.legislature.ca.gov. Thanks, Jim. Did I get everything there?
Yeah, on countedascast.org. /stop AB 840 will get you the real information.
Well done, my friend. Thank you, Jim. Thank you for your fight there. Keep up the good work at Counted as Cast and on the Voting Rights Task Force up there in the Bay Area. Jim Soper, thank you, sir. Much appreciated. I got to get to a break here. We'll come back with your calls on the broadcast on DACA and what Democrats, oh yeah, speaking of Democrats, what should they do? What should they give up? What should they demand in order to get what should they threaten in order to get some form of a Dream Act finally cast in Congress before 800,000 Dreamers are cast to the wind? I'm Brad Friedman. This is your Bradcast. We'll get to your calls right after this. Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Our phone number is 818-985-5735. 818-985-KPFK. A Trump administration memo distributed on Tuesday told legislators to stick to the talking points that the DACA program, or Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, that the recipients, DACA recipients, should prepare for deportation. Never mind what Donald Trump says about this, about him being conflicted on the Dreamers, being conflicted on DACA, that he's going to treat these folks with heart. Never mind that. The talking points on this, according to the document that ABC obtained and then some others confirmed, it said the Department of Homeland Security urges DACA recipients to use the time remaining on their work authorizations to prepare for and arrange their departure from the United States, including proactively seeking travel documentation or to apply for other immigration benefits for which they may be eligible. The DACA program is going to end in 6 months unless Congress does something to try to legislatively put in place what Barack Obama had tried to get Congress to do, but ultimately couldn't. So he put in an executive order allowing these kids to come out of the shadows, to give their names, their information to the federal government, their addresses, to allow them to be part of society again, to work, to go to school, to serve in our military, to pay taxes. And now the U.S. government is telling them to get lost, to go away, to figure out, to prepare for deportation. Are Republicans going to do anything about this in Congress? Because they've had about 10 years to do something, and they continued to fail to do anything year after year after year. I had a guest on our show yesterday, our friend Digby, Heather Digby Parton from Salon, who said, you know what? If Democrats have to, they should agree to a deal to fund Donald Trump's stupid border wall, if that will help enact a legislative version of DACA or the DREAM Act. Do you agree? Should Democrats do that? Is that a fair trade to save these 800,000 people? Now, I should note, it's very controversial. She wrote about it at Salon. We talked about it on the show. And she says, yes, that Democrats should do that, but only if it includes a path to citizenship, which I can't see Republicans coming up with at all, even for these kids who have been here since they were, you know, infants, many of them. Your thoughts, 818-985-5735 on that. And also, Trump did make a deal, by the way, claims to have made a deal with Democrats right now to fund the government, a short-term deal. But should Democrats not agree to fund the government, not agree to raise the debt ceiling unless there is some sort of a DACA deal? I think Republicans are going to screw them on this, but I'd love your thoughts on what Democrats should do. 818-985-5735. Let's go to Roger in Minneapolis. Roger, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
An honor. I think that we're getting hornswoggled yet again by the manipulations of this chaotic freak. And he's setting things up. I thought carefully about Digby's points yesterday, mm-hmm. and I think he's setting things up to swoop in like a white knight at a certain point, and he doesn't really care what happens with the Republican legislative stir coming up in 2018. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's what he's thinking of. And I think that he's working simply on manipulating first his base to, mm-hmm. to be happy with him, and then possibly to win a significant number of Hispanics over by playing the white knight when the last hour comes.
Mm, I see what you're saying. Yeah, because the question was, you know, why the hell is he doing this at all right now with everything that's going on?
So more confusion. Yeah.
Well, although he's kind of, or at least his attorney general has sort of backed him into the corner by claiming what Obama did was unlawful, unconstitutional. And, well, he says after 6 months, he will reconsider doing exactly pretty much what Obama did. But in your case, Roger, you're suggesting that he's going to force Congress to do something, and then he's going to actually sign it.
Well, heck, Brad, unlawful and unconstitutional sounds exactly like Trump's bailiwick.
Not my president, Trump, Roger. I appreciate the call. Thank you, brother. Appreciate
you
hanging on hold and for those thoughts. Let's go to Ivan in Los Angeles. Hey, Ivan, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Hey, Brad. Nice to talk to you, man. Just wanted to say you were mentioning that we would give him some leeway by accepting his wall. Honestly, man, call me cynical or whatever, but the more you give this guy, the more he's gonna take. You know, he'll turn around and take everything you give him, and he'll still come up with his own agenda. And at the end of the day, whoever put his trust in Trump is going to end up losing. So
The Republicans,
it's a bad idea.
It would have to be the Republicans in Congress who would have to agree to some bill, some legislation that says, A, we'll fund Donald Trump's stupid wall for a couple of billion dollars, and the Dreamer kids can stay. They can become citizens. Seems like that would be a decent deal that at that point Trump either has to sign or not sign, right?
Yeah, but I wouldn't trust Trump with anything. I mean,
yeah.
At the same time, you know, it all seems like again, call me cynical, man, but you know, when I first heard of this whole DACA thing and the driver's license for the undocumented, to me, it just sounded like a setup. I would, if it were me, I would never would have done it because, you know, lo and behold, this is the outcome. You know, yeah. Sooner or later, it's going to come back and bite you in the butt, and that's how I see it.
I hear you.
I wouldn't trust anything, anyone. You know.
I hear you, Ivan. Thanks for that thought. I appreciate the call. 818-985-5735. 818-985-KPFK. What should Democrats do here to force action from Republicans? Should they play hardball? You know damn well the Republicans would. You know damn well that the Republicans would threaten to shut down the government, to push the country into default to get something that they wanted done. Should Democrats do the same thing? And by the way, what should Republicans do? Because I know we have a lot of listeners who don't agree, who are probably delighted that Donald Trump is threatening to send away nearly a million people who have served in this country, who work, who go to school here, who came over, who did nothing wrong. There are probably people who are delighted about that. Love to hear from you, too. 818-985-5735. Let's go to Freya in Glendale. Hey, I think I'm pronouncing that right. Freya, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Brad. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I think the question that you are putting for us to kind of, you know, get into this dialogue, it needs to be carefully understood. We have to consider that we have a bipartisan system that is not, you might see differences, but at the end, Democrats and Republicans, I mean, they haven't done that much things to solve problems, and immigration is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But immigration cannot be solved with this very limited vision that we have in our politicians, whether they are Democrats or Republicans. Immigration is a natural process. It's a human right. We have immigrated since we are human beings.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems that there is this disconnection in our politicians where they are so limited to understand 21st century global issues that, I mean, we are living like in the 1800s with this new government, and Democrats are not that far from that.
Well, Freya,
Democrats are to blame. They are not bold enough to stand up and say, hey, we need to move forward.
I hear you, Freya. So what should they do? I understand we need a comprehensive immigration policy, but the clock is ticking on nearly a million of these folks. Shouldn't Democrats take some sort of stand and take it now?
They have to take a stand now. They have to take a stand before, but they haven't done it. And that's the same narrative that we hear from them, that, oh, we are not like the Republicans. We don't shut down the government. Well, shut down the government.
Shut it down. Thanks.
You just say, shut it down. Do it. And the other thing, I mean, the wall is not a new thing. Remember that we have a wall in the border with Mexico. So what kind of wall is Trump talking about? What is he envisioning? What is it? I mean, he doesn't seem to have a clear idea for anything that he does.
No, he doesn't.
He's limited in understanding global issues, 21st century global issues. He's still in the 1700s United States.
Thanks, Freya.
That's a problem.
It's a huge problem. I appreciate your thoughts, Freya. Thanks for calling in. Let me go to Greg in L.A. Hey, Greg, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Brad. Thank you for letting me speak. You asked us to speak on a number of issues. You had mentioned over the air that you had hoped that on the airwaves or something like that, people would have talked about global warming or extreme climate change, that there have been some forewarning about Harvey and Irma and storms, but
yep.
That's been happening for decades and decades. Our own climatologists have been telling us it's going to be happening. And for generations, Native American elders have told us, this is all historical record, that if we spoiled our nest, we'd have all these problems. But we didn't listen. You know, we just went ahead, did whatever we wanted to do with feeling that there'd be no consequences.
Yep.
So I wanted to share that with the listeners.
And I appreciate that. And, of course, I want to point out, Greg, I was being somewhat ironic since Desi Doyen has been warning for about 10 years on our Green News Report about exactly that. So anyway, yeah, go ahead, Greg.
And I also wanted to mention, concerning DACA, the United States has a long history, unfortunately, of really being very greedy and racist when it comes to immigration issues. We've done this type of thing repeatedly. The Bracero program was an example of this in the early 1900s. And then during the first Great Depression, there were deportations of tens of thousands of people from areas as far north as Chicago from the United States. Of course, our incarceration of the Japanese Americans during World War II. We have a long, long history as a country of scapegoating people for problems we've created of ourselves, and our immigration system is reflective of that as well. So this is like, it's nothing new. And I think we really need a revolution of values, of consciousness in our country. People should take it to the streets. We should demand significant change. Our electoral process and our legislative bodies, they're representative of the interests that control our country. They're not going to do anything. It'll morph into different forms. But this is an ongoing problem we've had with our country, from slavery and the genocide of Native Americans on.
Thanks, Greg.
We really have to change.
Yep. Well, we do. But we're going to have to actually change something legislatively. I don't know if we're going to be able to have that complete revolution before the timer runs out for these dreamers. But I hear you. I do, and I appreciate the call. Let me go to Carlos in Santa Monica. Hey, Carlos, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Hey, you know, why do people come to this country?
Excellent fast food, I'm thinking.
No, because it's so great, and you can work, and
that's true.
We have laws.
Yeah, okay? yeah.
So if we start now breaking the laws, we'll just turn into Mexico.
Breaking what laws? What are you talking about? And no, we won't turn into Mexico. I'm not going to say that Mexico is a lawless society.
Well, then why do people come here? Why do people risk their lives to come to America?
It's a great country. It's the land of opportunity, in theory.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So, you know, everybody now is all of a sudden has to fix the DACA thing. Why didn't you think about this 8 years ago when Obama was in power?
Are you kidding? Oh, wait, Carlos, are you serious?
Yes.
Did you just get to this country recently? Because for the last 8 years, Barack Obama was yelling and screaming to try to get something through Congress. They wouldn't do it. The Republicans blocked it. So finally, he instituted DACA through executive order. What do you mean? Why did you wait 8 years?
And how did that work out for you?
Well, it worked out pretty well for about 800,000 people who came here through no fault of their own, with their parents, who are now serving in our military, who are now working, who are now paying taxes, who are now going to school. It worked out real well until Donald Trump came in and pretended he had a problem with it because he became unpopular.
By the way, I'm an immigrant. I came here legally.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I went through the hard channel to get in here.
Yeah.
And so then, if you're saying it worked out for you, then there's no problem. We're all good, right?
Okay, Carlos. Thank you for your thought, and I guess cool with deporting. You're cool. No, obviously there was a problem.
There is a problem
that should have been solved, but Congress was not able to do it. They need to do it now.
Yeah, but Trump was able to do it. And it only took him 6 months, okay?
Wait. Trump was able to do what, Carlos? What are you talking about?
DACA. He was able to get rid of DACA. It's gone.
Okay. All right. Well, problem solved. Thanks, Carlos. I appreciate the call. No, the problem is not DACA. The problem is that you have a million people who are all American for all intents and purposes and who are about to be deported to a land that they have never been to, that they don't know, that they don't remember, that they don't speak the language. It's going to hurt jobs. It's going to hurt our economy by getting rid of all of these people. And Carlos has somehow convinced himself that Donald Trump has solved a problem instead of created one needlessly? Oy, it does make you wonder why people want to come to this country, Carlos. Let's go to Bob in Gardena. Hey, Bob, welcome to the broadcast.
Okay, I don't want to call Carlos a white Latino, but maybe he's not even Latino. A lot of times people come here because we've destroyed their economy with NAFTA, we put in dictators and death squads, and they have to run from their own culture that we've destroyed.
Yep.
So Carlos know the whole story, or doesn't want to know the whole story about why a lot of people are forced to come here and they should be taken in as refugees and not sent back to the killer governments that we put in.
Couldn't agree more. You're absolutely right, Bob. Thank you. Appreciate that call. We got just a minute or two left here. Let me get to Alejandra in Westwood. Hey, Alejandra.
Hi, Brad. I'm a fan of the show. I was calling because I am opposed to the rescinding of DACA. I am an American citizen, but my parents are immigrants, and I have a lot of friends who are DACA recipients. And what really grinds my gears about the rescinding is a bunch of people are opposed to DACA, complaining that they want immigrants to do things the legal way. Well, DACA was that program. DACA is that program that can guarantee the citizenship legally. And to the previous caller, Carlos, in our community, we call him an Uncle Juan for being a previous immigrant and now saying that since everything has worked out for him, he's opposed to everybody else who was in one position in his life. So I'm a big fan of the show, and I appreciate you having this topic on your show.
Thank you, Alejandra. I greatly appreciate it. Thank you very much. Yeah, pulling up the ladder behind them. We got to get it. Well, let me take one more, our old friend Morris, because he's good and he's fast and we love him. Hey, Mo, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
If you're talking to Democrats or Republicans, there is no honor among thieves. The Democratic Party is paid to lose. They're doing a great job. Anthony Brindon is holding back some legislation here in California to stop the universal health care because he took $700,000 from Big Pharma. You know, this DACA situation, this is nothing but a manufactured crisis. That's all it is. Ronald Reagan gave millions of people amnesty. These people come to our country. There's a book called Naval Base, written by David Vine. Read that book. These people come to our country because of what we're doing in their countries. Thank you, Brent.
Thank you, Morris. Greatly appreciate it, and greatly appreciate all the listeners who called in today. Sorry we could not get to everyone. We will be back with you again tomorrow, however, on the broadcast. My thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen, to my guest, Jim Soper of CountedAsCast.org, and to you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's show or any other, you can download it anytime for free at bradblog.com. My thanks also to our engineer, Federico Garcia, today. And you can find, follow, and share us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at The Brad Blog. My email is bradcast@bradblog.com. Until we meet again, which will be tomorrow, hurricane allowing, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.